A very good day and welcome to you. My name's Andrew Rabert. It's wonderful to be with you for this podcast, and it's entitled Let the Light Shine In. Let me repeat that title, Let the Light Shine In. Lord, as we start this podcast, I pray that by your Holy Spirit you will come and cause your light just to penetrate into the lives of those who are listening to this program, and that as a result, there will be change within their hearts and within their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, some of the very first words that God ever spoke that we have recorded, it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so we can see right from the beginning, light was part of God's plan for our lives. He wanted us to experience the light that he provides. And I believe it's such an important aspect. That's why I want to speak on Let the Light Shine In. Thank you for joining for this podcast. The first thing I see is that light changes everything. There is something about light that does change everything. It's as though light brings life to everything. You know, I was recently looking at a certain painting, and the painting looked dark and dull, even though the subject matter was full of color. And I realized that what was missing was some decent light. So I found a light and I directed it onto the painting, and the painting just came alive. And all of a sudden, you could see the detail and you could enjoy the colors. And only in that moment, only then, did I realize what a remarkable piece of work the artist had made. And it was possible because there was light. I've also learned that light can remove fear. As a little boy, I was often afraid of the dark. And my mother was good at picking up on things, and she realized that I was fearful. And so she agreed to leave the passage light on and my door slightly open. And I tell you, the comfort of that little bit of light, it removed my fear. And I was able to sleep peacefully. So light changes everything. And because of light, we can see, and we can see where we're going. And light is the basis of all food production, and without it, we would run out of food. And I wonder, have you ever noticed how the flowers on the sunflower plant look to the light of the sun and follow it during the day? It's such a remarkable thing, especially when you drive through some sunflower plantations and you just see all these flowers facing the sun. It's just this remarkable thing. But light is also used in medicine. It's used in communications through fiber optics. And through solar, we can even generate electricity, which is quite a useful commodity where we live. And is it any wonder that Jesus said, I am the light of the world? Or that he told us that because of his touch on our lives, that we or you could be the light of the world. And so the challenge is to let his light shine into our lives and through our lives into a dark world around us. We're speaking about let the light shine in. And may the light of God, the warmth of his light, just shine on you today. The second point is that his light can shine in our hearts. Now, you might say, well, you don't know what's going on in my heart. Well, I want to tell you, the light of God can shine in your heart. It's amazing to think that the light of the world, that's Jesus, that he can shine his light into our hearts so that everything can change within our hearts and our lives. And his divine light comes to shine in us and to change us. Now, some people's hearts are heavy and burdened, and there is perhaps the darkness of hopelessness and despair. But he comes to shine his light and change us from the inside out. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we see that His light can shine in our hearts and that it gives us that reassurance, that knowledge of the glory of God in Christ Jesus, that we can know that because His light is shining within our hearts. And so God wants us to know and experience Him as a living reality. And in order to achieve this, He wants to shine His light of hope and of courage and of joy, goodness and kindness. He wants to shine it into our lives so that we can see things differently. And as a result, that we can be filled with hope and a positive expectation. So it's such an important aspect. So the power of His light can even make us aware of the wrong that we have done. And then we can know the joy of knowing that that sin can be removed from our lives because of His precious blood. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. And so as we walk in His light and we have fellowship with the Lord because He becomes more real to us because the light of His presence or the light of His character is shining within us, it actually can bring about a situation where there can be a cleansing of sins. That's what it says. It says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. And I believe that's ultimately the goal, that the light of God comes into our hearts, things change. And we move away from things that we perhaps shouldn't have done or shouldn't have been involved in, or perhaps things that were wrong. And we move away from those things because our lives have been changed, because His light has shone into those areas of our lives. Point number three is that His light in our lives changes us. And we've already begun to touch on that. But if we embrace His light in our lives, I believe it will change the way we see the world. Now, I recently had someone write to me to tell me about how much she enjoys the jacarandas at the time of the year when the jacarandas are out. And in the city where we live, there are many of these jacaranda trees. In fact, our city is called the Jacaranda City, with thousands of these trees lining the streets. And during the beginning of October, there's a beautiful purple flower that emerges from these barren sticks, and there's this extreme flash of color that's seen all over the city. And it's quite a sight to behold. I often encourage my children just to take it in, because it only lasts a short while, but take it in. It's just this flash of color. But this lady was telling me about her husband, and she said he cannot see the beauty. He is only aware of the mess that it creates. And he doesn't share her appreciation for the beauty because he's consumed with the mess that you know, he sees as a result. And sometimes in our lives, we begin to see things in a certain way, and we see the negative. We see what's not positive. And God wants us to see what's beautiful. He wants us to be able to see what's miraculous. And sometimes our own ideas and perceptions block us from being able to truly enjoy the beautiful things in life. You know, I think back to the years when my children were growing up, and these were challenging times, but they were filled with beautiful and precious memories. And I would consciously try to enjoy every moment. And I would often become consumed with the responsibility, but I would always try to become more aware of the blessing that I was privileged to be part of with my children. And today, when I look back at the photographs and I see them as little children, I realize I was blessed, and I was able to enjoy the wonder of having children. And I believe that the Lord wants to come and remove the veil from our eyes. Sometimes we can't see the beauty. We just can't see the beauty because of whatever reason. He wants to remove that veil from our eyes so that we can see things from His perspective, and so that we can see that fleeting beauty or those moments of joy, so that we can see things differently and in the process be transformed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." And I pray that the Lord will remove any veils, any ways of seeing things, and that we would be able to see His glory, that we'd be able to see the wonder of His touch on our lives, in nature around us, in our families, that we'd be able to see these things and that we would be transformed as a result. And we would become more and more like the Lord because He's changed us, because His light has shone in our hearts and lives, and we are changed. Point four is that I notice that darkness, which is now the opposite about what we're speaking about, darkness destabilizes us. You see, when there's light in our lives, we can feel sure and shaken. But when there's darkness, we can feel rattled and concerned. And so I believe when we become more aware of the darkness than of the light, it has the power to destabilize us. Now, in our home, we've got a long passage, and at night, it's quite a dark place in that long passage. And sometimes if I get up at night and I walk down the passage, it feels like I'm losing my bearings, you know. It's like the darkness causes me to move maybe to the right or to the left, or instead of going straight down the passage. And then I found myself sometimes drifting into the wall while I'm, you know, en route down the passage. And it activates a little red light in a sensor. We've got a burglar alarm sensor in the one corner, and this red light comes on, and then suddenly I can see, but I'm right next to this wall, or I'm right against that wall, and then I can reposition myself so that I'm walking correctly. And that's what light does, you see. And when we're in the darkness, and when we spend too much time in the darkness, or spend too much time focusing on the darkness, it begins to influence our judgment. Now, I remember as a young boy, my parents took us, me and my brothers, to visit the castle in Cape Town. And it has a dungeon in it. And once you're in the dungeon, the doors are closed and it is completely dark. And we were part of a tour group, and we were taken down and the doors were closed. And then they asked us to turn around on the spot a few times. And then they asked us to move towards the door in this complete darkness. And everyone was bumping into everyone else, and no one really seemed to know where the door was. And it was a bit scary for some of the people. And then they opened the doors and the light came in, and people began to laugh because they realized how lost they were in such a small space just because of the absence of light. And so I believe darkness is not a place that you were designed for. It has the power to destabilize you, but His light, that has the power to let you be free and to help you and to enable you to be able to make progress. Point number five, don't be a lover of darkness. Don't be a lover of darkness. I've discovered darkness can come in many forms. There's the darkness of stubbornness and thinking that your view is the only correct view. There's the darkness of hopelessness and despair and depression. There's the darkness of discouragement and doubt and fear. There's the darkness of sin and doing what we know is not right. There's also the darkness of anger and frustration. And there's the darkness of evil and wickedness. And I believe darkness in all its forms we must fight against it. We mustn't let it just come and invade us. We must repel it and reject it. So don't get comfortable in any form of darkness that tries to overwhelm you, because the Lord wants you to be free from all of this. And that freedom comes about, or it happens, as we move towards His light and we embrace Him and His light and His truth in our lives. In John 3, verses 19 to 21, it says the following. It says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So this is this whole aspect, this lovers of darkness. And I want to encourage you, don't entertain, don't dabble with darkness. Don't think that you can go there and come back untouched. But know that the truth of God will set you free. And that's an awesome concept, that the truth of His light, the touch of His love and light in your life will set you free. Number six, I see that light brings confidence and strength. You see, when we are walking in the light, we can be empowered and we can step forward with confidence. If you know where you're going, you can go there with confidence. And if our hearts are flooded with His light, I believe we can be filled with confidence and hope. Now, I just wondered, just maybe raise a question here. Have you ever struggled during the night with fears and concerns? And then when the sun comes up, you wonder why you had such a struggle. Now, that's something I've struggled with, you know. Sometimes at night, my mind can go places it shouldn't be going. And by the way, I found a powerful tool in that regard is to begin to pray and to begin to pray for others and shift the focus there a little. But in Psalm 91, verse 5, it says, "Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night." And I believe that sometimes we can go through that night, the physical night or the night seasons of our lives where there's things that concern us or worry us. But there's something about light that gives us confidence and strength. And it's almost like when the sun comes up, then those things we were worried about seem to pale, and we're able to put one foot in front of the other and make progress, you see. And it's the same with His light in our lives. I believe it removes the fear and doubt, and it fills us with hope and boldness. John chapter 8 and verse 12, it says the following. It says, "Jesus spoke to the people and said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life.'" There's one concept I still try and understand, but I do love. It's the concept of the light of life. And I believe following Jesus brings with it the reality that we will never need to walk in darkness again, regardless of what form that darkness may take. But He wants to give you the light of life. And I believe the light of life is His light in our lives that makes life worth living. And this speaks to me of the ultimate hope, regardless of what we may be going through or what may be going on around us. Lastly, point seven, I want to encourage you to pursue His light in your life. You see, His light is available to you and to me, and we need to go after it and pursue His light in our lives. Let the light shine in. And don't entertain any darkness that would like to get a foothold in your life. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "If we claim to have fellowship with Him," that's with God, "and yet we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not live out the truth." Living out the truth means knowing that His light is there and we can walk in His light. And if we proclaim that, but we continue to entertain our fears or our doubts or the things we shouldn't be doing, and we continue in that darkness, we live a lie. And I wanted to encourage you, don't live a lie, but live in His light. Remember that darkness may be a challenge for us, but it's not a problem to God. Psalm 139 verse 11 and 12 says, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The light will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." And sometimes we think The darkness is too much. There's too much going on. There's too much wrong. There's too much that I can be negative about. There's too much. There's just too much that I'm having to handle. And the darkness is going to overwhelm me. And I want to just say, with Christ in our lives, that never needs to happen. Because even though it may feel like that, we must remember that darkness is not darkness to God. And that night is nothing for him. Darkness is as light to him. He can handle that. And that's why when he's in our lives, if there are any things, he will help us and he will handle them. And no amount of darkness can extinguish the light of one candle. Proverbs 4 and verse 18, as I close, it says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." I'm telling you, God wants to take you to a place where you can enjoy the full light of day within your heart, within your mind, and within your spirit. So let the light shine in, and let him, the light of the world, let him light up your life and flood your life with his light. You know, we cannot do without it.